Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that, it also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Goldberg is still traveling. He's taking his son off to college, which should be kind of exciting. They're starting some fall practice before the school year actually starts. I'm sure we'll get into a little bit of that next week, but I thought we would do something a little bit different this week, certainly with the Indy 500 that just happened. I thought we would recap a little bit of that and then maybe throw back to an interview that we did with Simon Pagenaud, who won a few years ago. So why don't we kick things off with a note from our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. They have every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of the many slot games. They have over 150. So head to the website to get in on the action. Don't forget, use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. 50% off welcome bonus. It's Bet Online where the game starts. All right, so the Indy 500. It was an exciting race. Something like 32 lead changes just in the last 70 laps alone. The winner was Joseph Newgarden. Back-to-back wins. This is the first time we have seen back-to-back wins since Elio Castroneves won in, I believe, 2001 and 2002. It's also a nice cash bonus for them. I think the BorgWarner adds like $20,000 per year until back-to-back winners happen. So because of that, you know, 20-plus year stint, it is another $440,000 bonus. So the total winnings for Newgarden was something like $4.4 million. I really was looking like Pato O'Ward was there. I mean, it's such a clean race, such a good race. Joseph Newgarden as well, Scott Dixon. I was sad to see Will Power get in an accident toward the end there. He was doing so well. At least I thought he was doing fantastic. I really thought he had a shot at it, and I thought he was going to come out on top. I don't know why. I was just sort of, if I was going to make a bet, I just had a good feeling about Will Power, but unfortunately that didn't quite work out. But I mean, Pato was there on the end. It almost looked like the McLaren team was just ready to celebrate. Half a lap left, and Newgarden was able to slingshot his way past, which I'm pretty sure that's how he won it last year, slingshotting past Marcus Ericsson. But what an incredible last lap. Just really, really get started, or really, really get exciting toward the end there. As we said, Scott Dixon was third in this one. Another great run from him, just kind of digging his way the entire time through this thing. It was just really kind of interesting. And I don't know if you guys saw this, or maybe you saw it up on social media, this graphic that's been kind of going around. I think I initially saw it from Bobby Rahal being posted, but sort of an infographic of all of the, not just the lead changes, but just the rankings changes of the Indy 500 compared to F1 this past weekend as well. And something like the top 10 drivers in F1 didn't change place at all. Number one ended number one, number two ended number two, number three, three, all the way through. And then you look at the lines and it's just crazy how much action what was going on in the Indy 500 when you look at it that way on that graphic. So I thought it was kind of a good race to see. The rain delay, I'm sure not fun for anybody, certainly for us trying to watch it. It you know, it was a 4-hour rain delay, but and certainly put a damper on the people that were there. Everyone seemed to be there and enjoying it, but yes, I kind of had to find some shelter there. They were a little concerned about not just the rain, but any potential lightning or whatever. So you're trying to stay safe and I guess you're just jammed up next to everybody trying to stay out of the rain for 4 hours, maybe enjoying a couple of beers or something while you're there. But, you know, everyone seemed like they were a trooper. And we were kind of getting toward the end of daylight. I think there was a hard out at 8:15 at night because there's some rule about how much, I don't know, just lights and things like that for people to exit. Exit the track safely and be able to get on the road and get themselves home. So there was kind of a hard out, but they definitely met that. But it was, you know, if they were keep getting yellows and stuff, it could have threatened that timeline a little bit. So anyway, it was very interesting to see. And I know over the years we've had guys like Simon Pagenaud, Alexander Rossi, Connor Daly, a number of the IndyCar drivers. I think Tony Kanaan was on with us. Ilha Castroneves was on with us. It's always exciting to be able to sit down and speak to all of these guys. So I was looking at some of the interviews that I thought would be kind of fun. And although it was during COVID and there was a delay in the Indy 500, which was normally in May, is pushed to August, we got to sit down. Adam Kroll and I, this is back when 2021 or something, 2020, Simon be able to join us via Zoom, coming off of his 2019 Indy 500 win. So, why don't we do that? Why don't we just, go back and listen to that interview? Cause I still think it's great. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
And so, Simon, we're talking about, welcome. Thank you for coming in. And we're talking a little bit about the iRacing series that you guys are playing in. And we're just starting to question, is it a level playing field? Do all of you guys have the same rig and the chair and the monitors, or does everybody set up their own gear? Is somebody at home just like with a Xbox controller or something, and then everybody else has like strapped into a chair? Or how does it work?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, first of all. And I thought we were talking about equipment to talk together. Like, I thought you were saying, should we be on the same equipment?
Yeah. We should all do this from an iRacing chair. That would be easier.
Exactly. But to answer your question, no, I don't think anyone has the same package. I think, you know, I personally wanted to do this 100%, so I went into buying three giant screens. So it looks like I'm in a theater room, and I had a previously steering wheel that's a Fanatec. It's the best you can find on the market. So I went all the way to make sure I would be competitive and just to dive in, you know, and do things like I would do. It'd go 100%. But I know Connor Daly has an old steering wheel hooked up to a desk. So I don't even think he's got a chair.
Well, his chair probably has wheels on it.
Probably.
So, this is a way to keep people entertained. You know, I was watching some of this stuff on SportsCenter. They're doing it, you know, like who wins, who wipes out, and all that. But it's also a way to keep your skills sharp, right?
Yes, it is. It's actually, it's very interesting. You know, I think I'm going to do more of this in the future because I realized that, you know, it really makes your gears turn and it keeps you sharp. It keeps your reflexes going and your brain's being tricked, right? You can't feel the race car. So you have to find other ways and sharpen other senses to be good at this. So, so I think I might end up being better as a driver out of this. And I think it's a great way to entertain the fans.
I was talking to Matt about this new thing of guys that are these virtual stars that win all these races, you know, these computer races, actually transitioning into the race car. And a lot of them have been successful or had some success, more than you would think. But in a way, if you just drove on a simulator, even if you were a pilot, and you drove and you were in a simulator for 10 years, you'd probably be able to fly a plane.
I would agree with you. It's funny. It's a question that keeps coming back right now. I had somebody call me this morning and say, hey, how can I get into racing? And I actually said, you know, why don't you try virtual racing first and see how good you are? So I think it's relevant.
My problem, but you tell me, and you guys, I'm guessing your team has really good simulators, not for this purpose, but for learning tracks and such data and stuff like that. The little simulator experience I've had is the wheel, the brake, the way the car feels. Those of us who've driven actual race cars then get into the race car simulator and realize it doesn't really feel anything like the car. How close is your simulator to what your actual IndyCar feels like?
Well, I've managed to take the dimension of where I'm sitting compared to the steering wheel and the pedals, how far they are. And I've adjusted everything to be the same, exactly the same. So I have the same sitting position, but you're right. Like even the steering force feedback is different. You try to replicate it, but it's not fully exactly like it is. So I think if you don't have racing experience, you might learn faster how to drive the simulator. I think for us guys like you and I, it's more of an adjustment, but, like you said, the simulator we use with Chevy to prepare for each track is a lot more advanced because of the motion of everything and the work that we put into it. So, but this gets pretty close to real life.
You know, how much simulator racing have you done prior to coronavirus, basically?
Well, not as much as I should have, because I'm training on average 5 hours a day right now to reduce the gap with the top guys. But as you can see, I'm running top five, which is pretty good. I think the best I can do at the moment, but I'll get there. Previously, I've had a lot of experience with racing simulator to, like you said, Adam, prepare for the racetrack. But it's different when you're in your living room and nothing moves and it's just you racing against pro racers, pro virtual racers.
Yeah, the simulator stuff or half the simulator stuff is literally just learning the track. It's not really about being fast in the simulator as it is about where the apex, and if it's a road course, especially, it's like really learning the track. So your mind is a little more on trying to find the path than it is, you know, how fast to go. You'll worry about that when you get to the track, but this is different. Now you're racing versus learning. I think this is going to be one of those things where your skill set is improved through this being foisted on you, sort of like when people say, well, I lost my sight, but then my hearing became very keen, or my sense of smell or touch or sense around me was all heightened. I feel like this is going to help your game, even if it feels sort of imposed.
I agree. Like I said earlier, you know, it's tricking your brain, but in other ways, you're developing other senses, like you said, feedback. And I think, you know, as a driver, you always try to improve yourself and make every skill better, right? And there's definitely, I feel, improving some areas of my driving that I didn't even expect before.
Do you have any, you won the last Indy 500, so congratulations. First Frenchman, I'm reading here since, I think it was 1926 or something, insane, or 1920. God, yep. that is a long, I hope he was there to shake your hand when you cross the finish. But, so what, any thoughts about the Indy 500? Matt and I were planning on coming out this year. We've been out a few times. We've been there with Willie T. Ribbs. We've had the greatest time ever. It's such an amazing event. But one of the things that makes it amazing is 350,000 people packed into one place. I mean, there's never been more humanity. You know, forget a football game. A football game is 65,000 people. This is five of those. So any thoughts or any discussion or any inside skinny on when that thing could be run?
Well, at the moment, we're scheduled to run August 23rd, I believe. It's going to be a complete different race because of the heat, right?
Right.
It's going to be in the middle of the summer, really hot. The cars are going to slide around a lot more. It's going to be a different race. Obviously, you know, we're still waiting to see what's going to happen with this virus. We're being positive. I think, you know, IndyCar's done a tremendous job at reorganizing the schedule for the whole season, but most importantly for the
Simon, sorry, you seized up a second there, but I think you're saying most importantly for the fans. And
yes, I did.
Good.
We lost everything after that.
Sorry. I said most importantly is, you know, IndyCar's done a great job at finding a way to run the 500, and the fans are going to be able to go. I think this is going to give us enough time before, you know, after the deconfinement to get going. So it's the biggest event in the world. So hopefully we can run it. And I'm very positive.
Well, I'm not worried. I'm going to be there. I won't be wearing gloves or mask, because I will have so much vodka in me that no virus could ever find a home. It'll immediately be killed off. Like, you know, my wife spraying the alcohol all over the counter and wipe it all down. That's what I'll be sweating so much alcohol that no way. By halfway into that race, that coronavirus can be running the other direction. I promise you that.
Several people nearby. Simon, the Indy 500 was an exciting race. You did so well, obviously won. But give us a little insight as sort of what happens after that race, aside from huge photo shoots with Norman Pagenaud. and more photos of him on the brickyard over there than it seems like any dog has ever been at a racetrack. But the media tour that encompasses the winner of the Indy 500 is just fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, first of all, out of that, Mr. Norman got a sponsorship. So he's being sponsored by Julius K9. They make harnesses for dogs, and they wanted Norman to be an ambassador.
Wow.
So he got more out of it than I did. But
he's making more money than the rest of us.
Well, it's good. He pays for his own food now, so that's great. But it's life-changer in many ways. First of all, the recognition of the industry within the industry has changed. You know, I went to the F1 Grand Prix in Budapest, and everybody knew about, you know, the race that we just ran. Everybody knew about the battle I had with Rossi. And it was a very different feeling being recognized by everybody as an Indianapolis 500 winner. So that's the first thing that was most important to me, is being recognized as one of the best in what I do within my industry. And then I think it's not only it you're being recognized in racing, but now, you know, you take a different dimension worldwide. The media have had such an impact all around the world with this race that now I'm more known in France, where I'm from, you wouldn't believe. My second best country that's following with Brazil. So it's just incredible to see how much you can grow after winning such a big sport event.
Well, I'm looking at your helmet in the back, and it looks like it has some Brazilian colors on it. So I don't know if that's a coincidence. I can't remember. I'm picturing Senna's helmet a little bit, and it's got a little Senna in it, that helmet behind right. you. And what is the story to that livery? Is that
it is a Senna helmet, actually.
Oh, yeah, it is?
Yes.
I see.
It's funny you said that. I actually ran his livery mixed with mine in 2014 at the 500, you know, celebrating his life back then and being also associated to the Ayrton Senna Foundation, who's helping kids learn how to read and talk. So it's been amazing because he's my hero, and I feel very connected to him in some ways. I'm a spiritual person, so please follow me here. But, you know, I found myself in what he was saying and how he was describing himself while driving. I've been trying to get closer and closer, and now I'm closer to the foundation. And I feel very grateful that I'm in such a position to be closer to your hero. You know, it's quite special. So love Senna and his driving style, I think, impacted the whole world.
Yeah, well, that documentary was groundbreaking, and obviously the in-car footage of him, like, driving in the rain at Monte Carlo was, to anybody who appreciates driving, it was sort of magical. And yeah. Of course, with the F1 sound, and obviously at a time before all the technology was involved with the F1 cars, and, you know, you really had to drive the car, I think to any racing purist, that was some of the most incredible footage ever. And it's smart for you because you wear the Senna colors on the helmet, and then you get to go back to France and be adored, but then you get to go back to, I'm sorry, where do you, Rio, not, where's he from? Sorry, screwed up his home.
Sao Paulo, yeah, Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. You get to go back to Sao Paulo and then be a hero as well. So you really have two countries now supporting you. Yeah. We're looking at you in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That was it. So that was very special for me to wear his colors. And you know what? I mean, when I left pit lane, everybody was looking at the helmet and everybody had that, that look about it, a respect. It was very special to feel like I was chosen to have such a message. I was very worried not to do well with it because, you know, you've got such pressure now. It's funny because just before the 500 this year, a member of the Ayrton Senna Foundation came and find me and gave me a bracelet, a Ayrton Senna bracelet. And I wore it during the race. You could actually see it on the winning pictures. So,
wow.
So it's pretty cool. Very cool.
I saw that dude at the bar. He gave me the same bracelet, and then he handed one to Matt, and then he handed one to my kid. He was handing them to everybody. Saying,
It wasn't that special at all.
I keep it special in my head then.
That's what he said. He was laughing about you. He said he gave one to Passion.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, Passion was really pushing it for me. I want to ask you about Penske. You're driving the 22 Team Penske Chevrolet. But the boss went in and bought the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and then he bought the NTT IndyCar Series as well. That sounds like a big check to write all in one day.
Well, but if you can do it and it's your dream, why not, right? I mean, it's amazing. I think, you know, obviously, if you think about it, like just being super fan here, but imagine this, like you're 16 years old, you go with your dad to that race and you fall in love with it. Then you build your team, you have the most win of anyone in the world. And then after that, you buy the place. I think it's just incredible to see. Yeah, I've got such an admiration for Roger and for what he's capable of doing and the goals that he sets himself, and actually doing it is incredible. But yeah, I think quite frankly, for IndyCar, entity IndyCar series, I think we're lucky that we're in this era. I think the George and Herman family did an amazing job to make it the biggest sporting event in the world. But now we are going into the next era of the sport, and we have a lot of momentum. You know, we know how the Penske organization work, and they're going to change a few things. And I'm very excited to see how they run it. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting time when we get racing.
Well, we'll be there. We'll be watching. We'll be sweating. And you're right, that heat, it's going to add a dimension that we've never seen before, because track temp is a major deal. It has everything to do with tires and traction, and it's gonna make for a different condition, but it'll be the same for every team. But now it'll be something for the team to figure out. It'll be an approach that each team has to consider, and that's going to add another element of strategy to the event. Sure. So it's going to be super exciting. I want to give Simon a plug. It'll be Saturday. It'll be Saturday, 2:30. It'll be on NBC Sports. It's the third round of the IndyCar Racing Challenge taking place in a virtual Michigan International Raceway. I'll be watching, and and hopefully we'll come shake your hand at Indy in a few short months when this is all just a bad memory.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Michigan should be fun this weekend. I've did some practice. Whew, there's going to be some crashes. So stay tuned, and it's fun to watch.
Well, I was also going to say that the only possible downside of all this simulator racing is how easy it is to crash and, you know, just get up and make yourself a sandwich and walk into the kitchen. You know what I mean? I hope that doesn't carry over onto the track.
I hope so too, because that would be really bad for anybody.
Yeah. You get those big bad budget simulator ideas, like this lap traffic guy is going too slow. I'm going to ram him.
Right.
It's all very right. Relieving. Actually, I got to tell you, Adam, when you actually have the opportunity to do that, it's sort of relieving. It's very nice to do when you can.
I think the English word you're looking for is cathartic. It feels nice to ram.
It feels nice.
Yes. Simon Pagenaud, thank you very much. And hopefully we'll see you at Indy this year.
I can't wait to see you guys there. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon. Indy guys, Matt, always the nicest, right?
Absolutely. I try to swing by and say hi to Simon at the Long Beach Grand Prix every year. And unfortunately, that's completely canceled for a year. So the next time will be Indy 500.
Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening to that. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.